Thank you. I would like first to thank the organizers of this nice conference for inviting me to a place with such a stimulating atmosphere. And well, I work for quite a while on this kind of things, and the what I would like to tell aujourd'hui today spans an interval of more than 20 years. No, not 20, 15 years. And so there are some things which are well known, but I will tell also some things that are not yet published. So it will be a mixture of well-known things and some new results. So I don't know how much I will be able to tell. It depends also on the time. How much time I
well, we've scheduled it for 2 hours, so 1 hour and 5 minute break.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me first remind what is well. I will speak about conformal field theories and perturbed conformal field theories coupled to 2D quantum gravity. Microscopically, usually the conformal field theories are realized by statistical models on regular lattices, it happens that for any solvable model with it described by a conformal field theory with central charge C less or equal to 1, there is a solvable gravitational solvable model of quantum gravity with the same matter central charge, describes the same critical the same statistical system, but on a random lattice. By random lattice, I understand an ensemble of lattices or planar graphs. So this is one example, an average over all possible graphs with given topology. In the continuum limit, the sum over all graphs is, when we have a huge number of vertices on the graph, the sum over all graphs can be described by a local field, which is the Riemannian metric of this surface, because the curvature the curvature is encoded in the adjacent symmetrics of this graph. So the sum of our curvatures is described by a gravitational field in two dimensions. Which there is no graviton here, but still we have a gravitational field. And in a certain gauge, conformal gauge, this field is described by Liouville field. There is only 1 degree of freedom which survives of this Riemann metric per point, and this degree of freedom is described by this Liouville field. I will not write any action for Liouville theory today. There are many reviews of that, and this is not my purpose here. Besides the Liouville theory, there is another way to describe models of quantum gravity, of 2D quantum gravity. These are the so-called matrix models. So there is a correspondence between the sum over lattices with some internal degrees of freedom, and the partition function of corresponding matrix model. And usually there are as many matrices as the number of degrees of freedom of the statistical system. I will not speak of, about matrix models today. I promised to Kai that the only thing that I will use is complex analysis. Nothing besides that, and just a bit of combinatorics. But I mentioned the matrix model because the relation between the Liouville theory, Liouville gravity, and matrix models is kind of baby version of the relation which is studied for the last 10 or more years, the relation between the string theory and large N gauge theory. One of the examples of it is the ADS, so-called ADS-EFT correspondence. So before to start, let me first remind the main ingredients of 2D quantum gravity. So what replaces the conformal dimensions, the critical exponents in 2D quantum gravity? So we have some statistical system described in the at the critical point by some central charge, which is less than one or equal to one. This is important because otherwise there is no quantum gravity. There is a tachyon that appears and it will destroy the system. So, I will go to this point, but just let me remind that it is convenient to write the central charge of the this conformal matter on the world sheet on the this fluctuating lattice in the continuum limit as one minus something which is positive, and this something is written in this way, that where gamma string is the so-called string susceptibility exponent, and in the SLE notations, gamma string is related to the to kappa, to this parameter kappa, by in this way. So when gamma string is going to zero, we are in this point kappa equal to 4.
Ivan, when you talk about this equation and gamma string, are you talking about just the gravitational effects, or are you also talking about matter fields in addition?
Until here, gamma string is just a way to parameterize the central charge.
Of gravity.
Of matter. Matter field. The central charge of gravity is always zero, because you have a not conformal invariance. You have much stronger invariance. So you cannot have conformal anomaly in this theory.
Okay.
Your correlators don't depend on the coordinates. So until here, the gamma string is just a way to parameterize the central charge. But its meaning is the following: if you take the partition function of the statistical system on a surface with genus G, then and if you fix the area of the surface, you sum over all possible surfaces with given area A, then for large area the partition function will scale as area times G minus 1 and 2 minus gamma string. So this is the general formula. Actually, if you are considering not exactly the critical point, but this is this exponent, but there is also kind of the term that comes from the entropy. Exponent of the area, but this is a trivial term, so you can put it in the definition of the partition function. So this is the gamma string is an exponent that describes the fluctuations of the metric of the surface. Now we can consider other dimensions, the dimensions of the scaling operators on this random surface, and I come to the place.
Define gamma string.
This is how you define gamma string. You can prove that these two formulas are consistent. If you have central charge given this way, then the behavior of your partition function will have this exponent. If we define the, if you consider an operator of the statistical system, which in the continuum limit is described by a conformal field with conformal dimensions delta, and equal to delta bar, then to this conformal dimension we can associate a kind of gravitational dimension, exponent that is called gravitational dimension, by this rule. When gamma string is equal to zero, this is just the square root of the conformal dimension. So this is the so-called KPZ formula, which Bertrand Duplantier used extensively to find explicit formulas for difficult conformal dimensions. This relation gives the scaling of the correlation function of this operator after coupling to gravity. So what does it mean? Pasha, what is the meaning of this correlation function? Yeah? So you, in your statistical system, you can this operator is given by some local degree of freedom. Yes. So you insert this operator microscopically at some point, and that's all. Then you sum over all surfaces with this insertion. I will give examples of such operators later, and you don't need to sum over the points of the surface. It's done automatically by the summing the ensemble of random graphs. So if you consider the, but this function is not normalized. You just sum over random graphs with an insertion and this operator put here.
You don't want to say that this operator means that you sum
I don't want to say that. First, I will not need any conical singularity here because I'm using the microscopic description of the statistical system. I mean, I will speak later of only one statistical system, the O(n) model. So I don't need the conical singularity. Yeah. The conical singularity is a notion which comes from the quasi-classical treatment of the problem with UVO theory. And if you solve the Liouville equation with insertion of such an operator, of course we will obtain such a conical singularity. But there are also other methods to calculate the correlation functions in quantum gravity, which don't use this such notion. So the ground ring or the conformal bootstrap used by Kotelev and Lotchkov,
Ivan, what is the role of the O1 play in this?
O1, O2, etc. Any number of operators. Any correlation function involving such an operator divided by the same correlation function without this operator scales as a to the power of 1 minus delta. So this one comes from the fact that you would like that the gravitational dimension of the identity operator is zero. That is, if you just make a puncture on your surface, the identity operator will just count the number of points on the lattice. So it will give a factor of area, which is this a to the power of 1. But if the operator has non-trivial dimension, then you will have this.
The information about what operators are there in those dots, it is constant.
In the constant, of course, yes. I sure. Yes. Yes. So if you are at the critical point, you actually this scaling, you know it, and this is kind of trivial. What you calculate is indeed this constant, and this is why the Molotchikov say called the correlation functions here. They call them correlation numbers because you calculate numbers. Yeah.
So the angular brackets involve the summation of all random graphs.
All random graphs, yes.
And all genuses.
No. I consider fixed genus, because if you sum over all genus, the expansion will be asymptotic and it's not well defined. Fixed genus.
The genus doesn't come to the exponent
because the genus describes only the fluctuations of the surface itself, and it's cancelled. I mean, this power comes in the numerator and the denominator, so it disappears.
The definition of coupler is G, and the definition of ground single is also G. There are different G's. Like one is G.
Yes, I will put H here. H. Number of handles. Yes, H. And here, let me H. And G is constant, which is used by people who use Coulomb gas techniques. So this is the Coulomb gas coupling constant.
But
when
we talk about the question, so efficient function scales use area. If I, for instance, ask what area, for instance, some multi-developed area of the differential of some surfaces, so here it fixes the compute all the surfaces using given area, yes, the function is scaling area, but if I compute all surfaces, is characterized not only by area but maybe other objects.
You ask which are the geometrical characteristics that we can use in quantum gravity.
Differential is given to some number. How does this function scale with this one? Area equilibrium. This is the
I have to disappoint you. So there is no such. This 2D quantum gravity is too simple to be able to pick such a characteristic. The only characteristics of the random surface you can have of the geometry of the random surface is the area, the length of the boundaries, and the total curvature. That's all.
If you, I mean, the partition function over all geometries, you also sum over all number of links, sums over all areas. Right?
Yes. But you can keep the area fixed.
For grand partition versus, for, you know.
You can introduce a constant which is called cosmological constant, and serve. Actually, let me write what the partition function of quantum gravity is equal to sum over graphs exponent of minus some cosmological constant times the area of the graph and times the partition function of the conformal field theory, how to call it? Let's call it F here. F is equal to the sum over all graphs and of this factor and the partition function of CFT associated with, actually not CFT, a statistical system associated with this graph. So I will consider only the O(n) model here, so let's put it O(n) model. So, for the moment, you can use any ensemble of graphs. So, for example, you can use fat graphs without boundary, and given Euler characteristics. You mean the kind of the graphs? Yes, you can use any ensemble of graphs, and there is a very powerful universality. With they are fat graphs. So fat graphs mean that they are made by lines which are like strips. I use the double line notations by Tocht. So you can, if you twist the propagator, you can feel it. I mean, you can distinguish between twisted and untwisted propagator. If you consider such a graph, you can feel the these index loops here by windows. And you will have a surface. So here in the O(n) model I will use only three coordinated graphs. So let us fix the ensemble of the graphs to be the three coordinated. So here I drew an open graph with some boundary, which is the ensemble of external links. But you can also consider closed graphs without boundary. And for the sum over closed graphs, for the partition function of the closed graphs, you have this behavior. Let me now start with the basic model I am going to consider, which is the O(n) loop model on planar graphs. This model is interesting as a kind of gravitational analog of the SLE process. Instead of summing over all conformal maps, you sum over all possible continuous maps. So you can let me first give the definition of the O(n) model. The partition function of the O(n) model on given graph G is equal to the following trace, 1 plus 1 over t, sum over a from 1 to n, s a of r, s a of r prime, and the product is over all links of the graph. So so we consider a fat three-coordinated graph, and the points of the graph are labeled by R, and the links are R prime. SA is n vector, a vector with n components, and the rule is that trace SA of R, SB of R prime, is equal to delta AB delta R R prime. If you calculate this trace by just expanding the product into monomials, then the position function will be given by sum over all possible closed loops, non-intersecting loops on this graph. We can represent a monomial in this product by a red line in the corresponding link, and using this rules and the fact that the trace of non-integer powers of S are zero, we see that the only possible configurations that will survive are where these monomials form closed lines on the graph. So this is the this is why you call it also ON loop model. It was, as far as I know, it was introduced by Minois in 80, even before, in 85, maybe. Okay, so now we can forget about the original definition and consider the sum over graphs covered by loops, and the partition function will be given by z is sum over loops with the factors t to minus the total length of the loops, that is the number of all links visited by loops, and also there will be a factor of n, the number of components for each loop, because this is we have n components. The definition is absolutely the same as on the honeycomb lattice. there is another difference that we cannot solve this model on a given graph, irregular graph. But if you sum over all graphs, the model is again solvable.
Can I check the fact that your graphs are made of double lines doesn't come into this part of things?
Doesn't come?
I don't see...
Why, you need the double line?
Yeah.
Okay, let me think about
double lights simply indicate the four directions of near space. There is no diagonal swing. All the longer.
We need this to get to the limit of a certain topology, huh?
The double lines are needed to in order to give some topology of the graph. But at this level,
to get weight for the loop, which is
yes. But I think that at this level you don't need it. At this level, you don't need the fact that the graph is planar. When you start to sum over graphs, then this will become important because you will count the area of the graph with some factor, which depends on the number of faces, and we can associate a face unambiguously with a graph with all the you can associate polygons in an ambiguous way only if you have double lines. Otherwise, you will have several possibilities. Also, which is more important, if we sum over all graphs, the combinatorial factors will be different for fat graphs and non-fat graphs. If you sum over all graphs, you will obtain factorially big, grand number. And if you sum over only planar graphs with given topology, fat graphs with given topology, we will have a power singularity. So this really, then it becomes important. The area, here there is no area, but here, if I, now I will put the model on a random graph with this factor. So then area is just the number of faces or the number of links. You want faces or vertices? They are almost the same. Or actually, I can put it as links. The Euler theorem for trivalent graphs tells us that there is no difference, and you can use any of these local element index. So before going to the random lattice, let me remind the critical properties of the ON loop model on flat lattice. So the model is when the temperature is large, the loops are suppressed. So the model is describes just a central charge zero, no massless modes. So there is a face with C equal to zero with small loops, C larger than some critical.
It's not critical at all.
Yes.
So what
central
charge?
Is this
the height?
Central charge,
central charge zero means no degrees of freedom. I mean, this is just tautology. Then, for when we approach TC, T critical, then you obtain a phase where the loop become large, infinite actually. And this is the critical point of the loop gas, and it is described by, in general, non-rational conforming field theory with central charge C equal to 1 minus. So before writing the central charge, let me parameterize the number n by in this way. The Owen model is critical only for n between minus 2 and 2. I mean, first I should tell that in the beginning we take n vector with number of components n, then we reformulate it as a loop gas, then we consider n as any real number, and the interesting critical behavior is possible only if n is in the interval of between minus 2 and 2. So it's useful to parameterize it in this way with an angle nu. N? Well, n is a kind of number of degrees of freedom. So usually the central charge is proportional to the number of degrees of freedom. But since the model is interacting, it depends in a more complicated way from the number n. So the dependence is this way, nu divided by n is the fugacity of loops, yes, if you mean, I mean, n is a factor that is associated with each loop. So the central charge is equal to this number. So when nu is very small, the central charge is almost 1, that is, n is close to 2.
I remember the usual convention is gamma string is negative or 0, right? What do you require of nu? Is it negative again? Or what is
nu? Nu will be taken between. Between 0 and 1. So in this way, there is no ambiguity. So let me write C critical is equal to 1 minus nu squared divided by 1 minus nu, gamma string critical is equal to minus nu. And if we consider t less than t critical,
six.
Thanks. This is on the plane. On the plane. For n equal to minus 2, you have nu is equal to 1 half. When nu is equal to 1 half, then n is 0.
But the problem is when nu is equal to 1. Then it looks like the central charge seems to go to
minus 2. Yeah. Yes. So G, let me write G. I missed to the parameter. G is equal to 1 minus nu. Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah. Plus nu. Yeah. So for G equal to 2, that is when equal to nu equal to 1, you have C equal to minus 2. Is it correct?
No.
C
equals
minus
2.
So, because I wrote a bad formula.
root of 10 raised from minus 2 to 1, plus 1.
Here, in this critical phase, minus 1 less than t less minus 2 less than 1. Yes? Now, consider a temperature which is smaller than the critical temperature. Then we have such a picture. Here we have this dilute loops. The surface will be the lattice will be densely covered by loops. There is no space, almost no space left, because you have to solve the model to see exactly what happens, but this is the picture you have. You have densely you have loops densely covering the lattice, and this is why this phase is called dense phase. The central charge for the dense phase is, say, C dense 1 minus 6 mu squared divided by 1 minus mu. And the gamma string here is equal to minus mu divided by 1 minus mu. Or G is equal to 1 over 1 minus mu. Actually, well, I will not. Usually, you use the opposite power, so I will not write what is G. Yeah. So you see that in the dense phase, we have another range of the central charge. It's minus infinity, less than C, less than 1. So the dense and the dilute phase meet at the point mu equal to 0, that is when n equal to 2. So this picture survives after putting the model on random gas. And not only this, but also all the operators that you can consider on the flat lattice make sense on the random graph. On the flat lattice, the operators you can consider are well, first the energy operator, which is sum over S A. How to call it?
I wanted to mention that critical temperature being non-universal might depend on which graph you're sitting on.
Certainly, yes.
So then, when you sum over the graph, how you're sure that there's a single critical point? It's not.
For the moment, I'm considered still honeycomb lattice. I mean, regular.
Yeah.
I'm just reminding the results for the regular lattice. So the operators in this case in the ON model are for the energy operator, the sum over SA squared, which is which creates loop with the same index here at some point. the so-called star operators that create L loops starting at some point. And the correlation function of these operators is given by the Duplantier's watermelon. Now, you have L loops starting from one point, R, and ending at some other point, the R prime, in presence of all vacuum loops. Also, you can, well, for the bulk, that's all. For the Oein model with a boundary, I mean, if you have a honeycomb lattice with a boundary, then you can construct more operators, boundary operators, which separate different boundary conditions. if you sum over these spins with, if you have a lattice with boundary, I mean boundary means, if you sum over these spins with no weights at the boundary, then you will have loops that don't touch the boundary at all. If you this is the Neumann-like boundary, the free boundary condition. If you put at the boundary the component S1 everywhere, S1, then, or S2 if you want, then you will have loops that go to the boundary at each point, because you these are the configurations that will survive. So this is the fixed boundary condition, or Dirichlet boundary condition. A loop, a line, open line, starting at each point of the boundary. This is just a way to distinguish. I mean, I don't put more meaning that I did. ED, yes.
If you, it's not the reverse, because there you have the fixed height.
No, I'm speaking about the Oein model. But this loop gas also appears in other situations, for example, for the SOS model. For the SOS model, this is just vice versa. Fixed height means Dirichlet means this, and free is this one. So it's just a matter of notation. I hesitated how to to call them, but let's call them following the analogy with the Oein spins.
Ivan, there are presumably many more boundary conditions, but we don't know them in detail.
Certainly. So these are the simplest boundary conditions, which are conformally variant at the critical points. Consider the n boundary condition, then it's possible to define the following boundary operators here. N lines starting from L lines standing from the boundary in presence of vacuum loops. So this is the boundary star operator. If we consider both Dirichlet, both D and N boundary conditions, then we can have more operators. I don't know whether they were discussed in the literature of the ON model, but that's why I don't know how to call them. But they resemble the twist operators, so I will call them bounded twist operators. So they have the following pictorial form. So you have Neumann, you have Dirichlet boundary condition here, and Neumann here. So the operator that separates the D and N boundary condition is called boundary twist operator. Actually, you can generalize this operator. You can make a combination of twist and star operator, so you can also grow L lines from this point.
So for the D boundary condition, don't you have an L star as well?
No, because at each point there is a line that starts. So how can you can distinguish L lines that start from neighbor point. Here there are configurations, always configurations. For example, well, if you consider this piece, there are always L lines. If you consider piece with length L of this boundary, there are always L lines that start from here. And this is true for any piece of the boundary. I don't think that this gives to a well-defined local operator. I mean,
because microscopically, you can't have more than one line end of the boundary.
Sure, no. Sure, but
so you
yeah.
Cannot have it as between boundaries.
Yes, so this is I looked at the lattice from far, from very far. Actually, there are L lines here, L external links.
They go into the N boundary conditions where you can have as many as you want.
Yes. Yes. So here, actually, you use the piece of N boundary to build this operator from the left. So. The dimensions of these operators are, for the star operators, they are found by Duplantier-Salleur, if I remember well. So these are the dimensions S. If you use this Katz labeling of the operators, even if you can have a non-integer R and S, so the operators of the degenerate fields in the Katz table are labeled by these dimensions. But I will use more loosely these notations. So I will with these notations you can associate an operator RS with R equal to L divided by 2 and S equal to 0 in the critical phase. I'm sorry. It's, let me write it. Let me write it here. So the dimension of the first, the dimension of the bulk star operator is delta L.
From the star operator has different colors for each line, or
you must have different colors for each line. You must have different colors. Yes, certainly. Thanks. Because the correlation function, in this way, the correlation function of two operators is just the watermelon. And each line.
Otherwise, it will probably close very.
Yes. Yes. So this is for the critical, for T equal to T C, and critical or dilute, and dense. So this is for dilute, this is for dense. So you see that these are kind of operators that are not in the CATS table. One of the R and S labels are zero, and the other can be integer or half integer. For the boundary, star operators, we have different rule, as John Cardi taught us, that the boundary and the bulk operators are not labeled by the same places in the CATS table. So we. Sorry? They don't. Yes, I mean. I already admitted that I will use very loosely the notion of CATS table. So this is L plus R is equal to L plus 1, and S is equal to 1 for the critical phase. And when L plus 1. So these are operators. These are good operators, actually. These are on the first column or first row of the CATS table. So one of these operators, the first one.
Also, CATS table is meaningful for rational kappa, and this is for
yes.
Yes.
Nevertheless, you can. The notion of degenerate field is meaningful for non-rational conforming field theory. So, in this case, you will have semi-infinite CATS table, which has a well, it has a sense. So this operator is the most interesting from the point of view of SLE physics, because it describes a line that goes from the boundary somewhere. The operator delta S1. And finally, the twist operators. Let's call tail the twist operator with containing also L lines, is given by delta L plus 1/2 0 for the critical phase, and delta 0 L plus 1/2 for the dense phase.
Ivan, do you derive these formulas? Was it you or somebody else?
For TL, I don't know if somebody derived that. I haven't seen them. I did, but with quantum gravity, using the KPG formula. So now let me go to the. I don't have a. So what to do? Break or? I will speak of the simplest case when you have only two coupling constants, the temperature and the cosmological constant coupled to the area, say the number of links of the random graph. And if mu is large, then I mean, if mu is large and t is large, then you have graphs with small loops, which are with finite area. So the partition function doesn't diverge. So in all this area, it doesn't diverge. When mu goes to some critical value, which depends on t, then the partition function diverges because of the dominance of infinite lattices, while the length of the loops remains finite. So this is the c equal to zero phase. When we diminish the temperature,
then now you're looking at systems of fixed topology.
No. Already, from here now we consider random graphs.
A fixed topology.
With fixed topology, of course. And actually, I will not consider loops. Only, I will consider the torus. Just. For some as an example, but for the moment you consider fixed topology, and the critical behavior for any topology is the same. Critical exponents are the same. So if you diminish the temperature, then you will. Is it correct? Yeah. For large temperature, you have. I'm afraid that I. For large temperature, the partition function is finite, so it becomes. I don't know how to write it. Large temperature and large mu, it's fine. Ah, I see. So it's here it's convergent. Here it's divergent. The area is divergent everywhere on this. Critical line, but the meaning of this critical, the critical line is different. On, I mean, it is made by two branches. In this branch, the area is divergent because of the space between loops. I mean, the loops are rare, and you have just trivial. Pure graph. On this branch, you have divergence because of the loop that grow large, and actually the area of the graphs is roughly the length of the total length of the loops because they fill all the graph. So this is the dense phase, and at the border between the trivial gravity and the dense phase, you have the critical point. So let's call it T star mu star, and here you have the dilute phase of the loop gas. So if you are interested in the continuum limit of the ON model coupled to gravity, that is when the surface grows large, then it's better to consider the renormalized couplings. The difference between mu zero, the bare coupling, and the critical coupling mu star, and also a coupling lambda, which is T star minus T. This is the deviation from the critical temperature.
Is mu the same mu as in Liouville theory?
This mu is proportional to the cosmological constant in Liouville theory.
Okay. newly bought pipe.
Yes, exactly, yes, yes. In the vicinity of this point, the sum of our loops on random graphs describes not a conformal field theory, but a perturbed conformal field theory with an effective fraction of the form A lambda lambda is equal to A critical plus lambda times the thermal operators phi 1,3. And this system is coupled to Liouville theory, to quantum gravity. So this action describes a system which is not conformal. So for lambda equal to zero, it describes the critical phase, C 1 minus 6 mu squared divided by 1 plus mu. And for lambda going to infinity, for very large lambda, it flows to another conformal field theory with smaller central charge, which is described the dense phase. So it's possible to solve the minus things. It appears that it's possible to solve the O-N model coupled to gravity all over this flow and to find a simple transcendental equation for the susceptibility of the theory on the sphere, that is U, which is the second derivative of the partition function on the sphere. So let us put an index H, which means the genus of the graph.
Well, I still don't understand what happens to the T dependence. So when you say lambda goes to zero or lambda goes to infinity, do I keep mu fixed? Or
this is the action of the matter theory. So if you couple it to gravity, you have to add also you have first to dress this operator by Liouville field to add the action of the Liouville field. And well, let me not. I promise not to write actions. So in this case, well, let.
I'm not to write it.
So mu appears as a cosmological constant coupled to the Liouville. So in this case, this operator, without Liouville, this operator was a relevant operator, which generates the flow to the infrared. Now it's marginal operator. So we have marginal deformation of quantum gravity. So the theory, considered as a conformal field theory, it has a settled charge zero, and this is a perturbation that doesn't change the central charge.
So as we move in this marginal direction, where are we moving in the phase diagram above? So just moving in the lambda direction, keeping mu fixed? Is that the marginal direction, or which one is it?
Here, in the vicinity of the of this point, we have actually one parameter, not two, but one parameter, because we have a scaling, only one dimensionless combination of these two complex of these two constants survives. So we will have a
line in the T mu phase diagram which corresponds to the marginal direction. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there is a line.
And how does it compare with the line that was drawn? Is it the same as the perpendicular? Is it just it's
Actually, there is not one line, but there is a family of lines. So this is the way you approach the critical point. So you approach it along to some lines of constant physics, and it depends of which point you will start.
And where is the infrared fixed point correspond to the dense as opposed to
the infrared fixed point is lambda going to infinity.
Right.
So this in this diagram, this is the diagram of the Baer theory. So in the continuum limit, you just blow up this vicinity, and here there is a scaling which is not present in the whole model. So this is why only one dimensionless ratio of these constants will survive.
What is phi 1 free?
Sorry?
What is phi 1 free?
This is the thermal operator, which is on the place r equal to 1, s equal to 3 in this table of dimensions. So its dimension is delta 1, 3. I think it's 1 minus mu divided by 1 plus mu.
The reason why it's phi 1, 3 is not, I think, easily explained. Why it's this and not another?
I cannot explain. I cannot tell you. Alpha is related to, let me see, alpha. It depends on how you normalize your diluvial field. So it is nu times some constant. It's proportional to nu.
In B field to normalize in a regular manner, e to the pi is area, or twice pi. For pi is area.
Then it's not nu, then it's nu divided by square root of 1 over nu if I...
Well, it's nu defined by the requirement this is a marginal of the...
Yes, exactly, yes. So, now I will write. Our aim is to calculate correlation functions, partition functions, and if I have time, I will give you the explicit expressions for the. correlation, the partition function on the disk, and correlation functions of bounded correlation functions of these operators. But what is important is I will concentrate nevertheless on the explaining the meaning of the procedure, how to obtain these loop equations. So let us define the quantity WL is equal to sum over random graphs with L legs. L legs and loops inside. I don't write what is inside. So we have loops with Dirichlet, with Neumann boundary condition, N boundary condition. That is loops that are repelled from the boundary. So this is our main object. So we write exponent of minus mu zero times the area, that is number of links. And here is the partition function of the ON loop gas model for this graph. So it's a function of T temperature and also M. And actually, we define this quantity with an extra factor, which is exponent of mu zero T to the power of L divided by 2. The meaning of this factor will become clear in a moment. Now, let us write the word identity for this, for the sum of these graphs. So we have, say, L1, L minus 1 here. And you you distinguish one leg, the first one. No. Well, two, the first one. And you see what happens with this external line when you enter in the graph. So first, it can I write for convenience single line notation. I mean, you cannot see from here the double line, say. So it's possible that it will there will be a vertex without a loop passing through it. And the vertex is exponent of minus mu 0. It has a weight, exponent of minus mu 0. Yeah. Also, there is another possibility that this line will pass through the graph and will end in another external line. So you have WL plus 1 here, WL. You have WK, W. N minus 2, sorry, L minus 2 minus K here. And also, there is another possibility that you will hit a vertex where a line passes. So you write, you separate this line from the graph, and you write what is in the interior and what is in the exterior. WP, WQ, the sum, and there is also some combinatorial factor. Let me write it analytically. Set the boundary conditions are Neumann types, n.
How can you have something entering this?
Because the you can have loops that go close to the boundary, but they don't go through the boundary. So you have you can have a line here that. Enters into a vertex containing a line. So this is the rule. The loops can touch the boundary, but they cannot go through. I mean, the the rule is that there are no lines that pass through the external lines, the external links of the graph are not visited by loops. This is the rule, and this is well defined. Otherwise, you sum over all possible configurations. So it's possible that a loop touches the.
Also, the possibility for line going in and out again.
Yeah, this is the second.
This is the second boundary condition.
The third one, how is it different from the first?
You mean here?
I'm going.
here, this?
How about one to the right?
This? here, there is a line, for example.
From the first.
From the first? Here. Because here, the vertex is uncolored. There is no line that passes through. Here, the vertex is... this is red. They are different, these two. So if you have a vertex which is simple, what is left is just the same quantity, but with one more line. Yes. But here, if you have a line that passes here, you cannot do that because you will have a partition function with boundary condition until here, and here you have an operator, actually the boundary thermal operator, inserted at this point. So you cannot write it like the same. You understand?
There's some overcounting here, because I mean the first diagram is the beginning of the second one in a sense, because if you want to propagate through the system, you always encounter empty vertices.
No, he's not branching in the second one.
There is no point. The line does not.
There is no point here. This is just the graphs are not necessarily connected. I mean, you have also graphs type rainbows. So some of that.
The rainbow recursion you wrote. Yeah?
So if you take this line, then you have one graph here, one graph here, and it will pass through. You can also write word identities for the connected graphs, but they are more complicated. And why do that when we have universality? So there is no overcounting. This is. You just pick the only three possibilities that can happen here, either to hit a vertex, or hit a colored vertex, or just pass through.
I don't understand what this line represents that passes through. What is this line? It's not part of the loop, right?
No, it's not part of
this.
Minus
length 1,
no? Let's consider three legs, W3. It is equal to plus, etc. Yes, this is the simplest diagram in W3. Yes. So if you take
where's the lattice?
Sorry, the lattice. This is the lattice. Let's write it in the double line notations, if you want. So you have one vertex, three external lines, and three propagators. So this is a planar graph, non-connected. So if you take this line, it will pass through here, and on the right you will have a planar graph with one tip W1, and on the left you will have W0, no graph at all. So this is why the sum goes from zero to L minus.
More vertices inside than this line that passes through always go through vertices, is it not?
Not always. Sometimes.
Let me ask you, looking at that picture,
yes.
You go in to any line, you immediately hit the vertex. So this is what I'm not understanding.
For this particular picture, yes. But I could make a graph that contains two connected components, and a line, and the third component that represents just a line that goes through like that. It's possible.
So the graph itself has a disconnected component.
Yes.
That's the second picture. Mm-hmm.
Yes, this picture. So. there is a universality in the sense that connected or disconnected graphs contribute the same, I mean, in the continuity limit, they give the same critical behavior.
But I still don't see what, sorry, the first and the third on the right hand side,
yes,
of this equation, what why are they different?
I go in on the left and I split the
gradation to
there's no loop visiting this vertex here, and there is a loop visiting this vertex here.
You cannot call it WL because you have red lines going out.
In the path of the guy, you have an observable in your
own. Okay. The WL here is this one. So the boundary condition is destroyed at this point. You don't have the right to call it WL. This is, but you can just surround this loop and take this W, which is, I mean, this piece of the graph, which is W something, and the external piece of the graph, which is also W, you know, and you have a closed equation for ups.
This is only for gravity, right? So
if
the
lift of course, only for gravity. Nothing like that. So we also strongly use the symmetry. Yeah.
Right, conformal more
identity
even for conformal
for lattice. Conformal for lattice. For continuum limit. Yeah, sure. No, it's we strongly use the fact that we sum over all possible graphs with given topology.
Suppose
it's
a little planar
graph.
Then I can write a conformal model for any
trait, so
say
Yes? Don't know. It's too complicated. It's a good question, but it's over. I mean, I cannot answer it now. Actually, I said that the graph is not connected, but you can say that if you have a line that passes through, you can say that the graph is parts of the boundary are touching themselves. So the graph is almost separate into two different two connected. I mean that it depends on the interpretation. I mean you can call this just a degenerate graph, not disconnected, but degenerate. okay, so let me finish this. So here you have to put all the weights associated with these vertices we distinguished here. So it's exponent of minus mu zero per vertex times 1 over t per vertex visited by line and to the power of all possible vertices, which is p plus q plus 1. And on the right, you have wp, not q, it's q plus l minus 2. Q plus l minus 2. Yes, because all the legs from here remain on the right graph, and this graph starts from zero legs to infinity. So this is the loop equation, and from here follows everything. You can first evaluate from here the disk, and then you can glue disks in different ways, and you can calculate any possible correlate. So let me write this equation in more suggestive form. First, let me. Sorry. I put this factor here, but actually this factor was for W, which is without which were defined without this one. So this extra factor is just meant to kill this one.
So it's actually not there.
It's actually not there. Yes. And what I forgot also, what I forgot is that each loop has a fugacity n. So I have to multiply by n here, by this number.
For example, if that t is not in the exponential there, t is a factor there, not in the exponential. Of this factor that is required.
Merci. So divide by t.
The whole thing, not mu divided by t, index connection.
Yes, yes. The actually not divided by multiply. Okay. So this is the question. Now let us define another quantity.
I have a problem with your equation. I know that if I take the, I can throw away the meta part, so this, the last term.
You can throw away?
The meta part, I mean the color blues.
The meta part? You can throw away, why? for n equals 0. Certainly. Then you
could just generate
the
random
equation for pure gravity. So this will
give the solution
for pure gravity.
And I also know that this, I mean, this is the same equation as you generate rainbow diagrams.
Not with this term. If you throw away also this term, you will obtain rainbow diagrams, no vertices. But this is important.
So but the rainbow diagrams will possibly not to make a link. That's the same equation.
No, plus one. L plus one.
You can put it to the other side and then relabel.
No, you can't. I guarantee you can't. So this is, it won't work for rainbow diagrams. Can I?
The formula can do it.
Sorry?
Formula can do it.
The critical point is this goes to some sort of Virasoro constraints, like in the matrix model?
Well, you can write it in terms of Virasoro constraints, but well, that if you want to go to the wave matrix models, you can write it kind of deformed Virasoro constraints. But I don't want to use the word matrix model here. I'm just using combinatorics. Yes. Yes.
Are you saying that when the Coulomb gas which produces equation are identical? Yes.
You mean Coulomb gas in the large in the limit of large number of particles? Yes. Yes. This is the same equation.
Yeah. But so as identity between these two, we can see because they produce the same Coulomb equation, or we can identify them before writing any equations.
I can write this quantity as in terms of the loop gas, as some average, some over all particles, some factors. Yes, I can. It can be done explicitly in this identification. Just I don't want to speak about this. So. Let us define another quantity, W of L. So L.
Sorry, second term it's WK, WL minus 2 minus K.
Sorry, W.
Second term on the right
hand. Sorry, thanks. Yeah. Let us define such a quantity, sum over L. Capital to the power of L small divided by L capital factorial and W L. So for L great, W of L is equal to WL, because you can take the sum by stationary phase. You have exponent of L small log L minus L capital log L capital, and the saddle point is when L small is equal to L capital. So if you introduce this quantity, then this loop equation can be given a very nice form. So I will write it here. So D of D L and P is a differential operator of in the length. So let me write it. P is ddl plus exponent of minus mu 0 ddl squared. What is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this equation? So you make a small deformation. So this, say W is this W of L. This. See? You make a small deformation of the boundary. And the only effect of this deformation is contact terms. So one of the contact terms is when one point of the boundary touches this point. You have to integrate over the position of this point of the boundary. This is the first integral. And the second term is when a loop touches the boundary. And then we have to integrate to the length, with respect to the length of this loop. So this is the second term. and now, let us make a small change of the. This is for all L. Let us make a small change of the definition of L. We shift it. By some differential operator chosen in an appropriate way, in such a way that this linear part cancels. You can see that it's possible. So what is left is this equation, but it's true only for L larger than 0, because we subtracted a distribution supported by L equal to 0. So this is equal to 0. So this is a very simple loop equation, which has a quite transparent geometrical meaning. And this equation can be solved exactly by doing the following. So let me you introduce the Laplace image I'm abusing the notation. Let's call it, I don't know. Well, I hope that you don't well let's put it W has here. This is the Laplace image of W of L. So what is the meaning of this quantity? This means that we have a partition function on the disk with boundary cosmological, with bulk cosmological constant mu coupled to the area of the disk, and boundary cosmological constant Z coupled to the length of the boundary. And also we have a marked point here. So this can be also considered as minus d, dz of this is W, phi of z, where phi is the partition function without mark point. in terms of this variable, in terms of this quantity, this loop equation can be written as follows. The point is that this this convolution here becomes just a simple product in the Laplace image. So we have W of Z squared plus N.
You still the W with a hat, or is it a different W now?
Okay. Hat plus N integral dz prime So if you make a Fourier Laplace transform, you will obtain this equation. Now
this is zero now. This object.
Ah, yes, it's zero. And also, W of Z must behave at infinity, because L equal to zero limit corresponds to z going to infinity limit in the Laplace, no? To some polynomial p tilde of z plus 1 over z plus etc. And this polynomial is a function, is determined by the number n, by mu 0, and by t.
So just to make sure, the contour integral here is taken around which point?
Infinity. So around it's infinity. Big, very big contour. so usually, such a quantity is analytic, meromorphic function with a cut, at least one cut on the real axis. Why it has a cut? Because W of L at large L behaves as exponent of nu star L, and also some power of L. And if you take the Laplace image, then you will see that W of Z has a branch cut at quantity n has a branch cut at z equal to minus n, and since it behaves as a regular function at infinity, it should have another cut at some other point. So it's let's call it minus lambda. So if you take the imaginary part of this equation, then we obtain the following condition on the real axis. In W.
It's really a linear equation. You can cancel one factor of W.
It's probably the
argument of the
Adels,
it should be z equals z.
Ah, yes. Yes, not true. Yeah. No, it's not linear. Minus. Minus. Minus, right? Ah. Let me see my notes. Ah. It's a shame I forgot my favorite equation. So it's actually it's correct, but you can also write it in this way: W of z minus W of z prime, and here W of minus z prime is equal to zero. So you can write in this way in order to kill this in the pole here. But actually, you don't need this factor because the integral will be zero. So if you take the imaginary part here, then you will have twice imaginary part of omega, real part of omega, plus n, and here you have imaginary part of omega times real part of omega minus z, but actually the imaginary part of this is it's consistent to assume that it's zero, so we'll write it in this way, is equal to zero. Because if you write this is integral dl prime exponent of w of l plus l prime so you obtain this one, this term, and if you, the difference is that here you have the plus L prime and not L minus L prime. And this is why you will have a different sign of Z. I could do it on the blackboard, but I will lose time. So this is what you have. So if you are out of the cut, this factor is zero and the equation is satisfied. If you are on the cut, this factor is not zero, but then this should be zero. And so you have a boundary condition on the cut for this quantity, which can be written as W of z plus I0 plus W of z minus I0 plus twice cosinus pi nu W of z, of minus z, is equal to 0. So now you can solve this by using a uniformization map that unfolds the two branch points. And actually, I will show you how to do it only in the continuum limit, which is when the second branch point goes to infinity. So you are concentrated on this the vicinity of this point between 0 and minus m. So here you can use this analytic, this parameterization z is equal to m cosine hyperbolicus of tau. And then this boundary condition can be written in the following form: w of tau plus I pi plus w of tau minus I pi plus twice cosine pi nu w of tau is equal to 0. And you just take z positive, and if you add tau, if you add I pi to tau, you go to the upper side of the cut. If you add minus I pi, you go to the lower side of the cut, and you obtain this one. So now you can solve this equation, because the solution is an analytic function of tau. And you can check that the general solution is w of tau is equal to sum with hat, is equal to sum n, no, not n, k. Cosh plus minus nu plus 1 plus 2k tau. So we have an infinite spectrum of solutions defined by this coefficients, which you have to determine. So this is the general solution. How you determine the coefficients? Well, you have to consider the exact problem, not just the continuum limit, exploit the asymptotics of W at infinity. Using these asymptotics, you can find the coefficients, and it happens that with the model we are considering, only the lowest two powers, the lowest two exponents survive. So the solution is W of tau is equal to cosh 1 plus nu tau m to the power of 1 plus nu plus lambda cosh 1 minus nu tau times m 1 minus nu. So this is the general solution of the O(n) matrix model. With arbitrary coupling, thermal coupling, lambda. But this is not all, because we didn't determine this quantity m, which is actually the boundary entropy of the disk. So it can be determined from the asymptotics at infinity, but there is also a simple way to do this. We can solve a similar loop equation for W of z is equal to minus dz phi. This is the partition function of the disk without mark point. So you can also consider the function d mu phi, which is, this is W. D mu phi is the partition function on the disk with one puncture on the disk. So it satisfies a similar equation, but with a simpler boundary condition here. There is no polynomial. And it doesn't depend on the coupling constants. It depends only on this, on the position of the right branch point, m. And the answer is m to the power of nu cosh nu tau. Now you can use the fact that the second derivatives are the same, that the result doesn't depend on the order of the derivative, and the compatibility of these two solutions give a transcendental equation for the boundary entropy M, which is of to form N to the power of 2 plus lambda . So this defines the function m of lambda mu. So from here we can evaluate the partition function on the sphere by using this correlator. We just shrink the boundary. If you consider it in the L space, you consider zero boundary and take the first non-trivial term, and it will be proportional to it will give the sphere with two marked points, and it will be proportional to m to the power of 2 nu. So we know that m, the boundary entropy, is related to the susceptibility of the loop gas on the sphere, this susceptibility U, the second derivative of the partition function, is proportional to m to the power of one over 2 nu. So from here you obtain a transcendental equation for the susceptibility. Integrating it, we find the partition function of the sphere. So now the time is already advanced. So I cannot tell you, I cannot write the formulas for the other quantities, but let me just tell the principle. The principle is cutting open the sum over surfaces. If you want to calculate the partition function of the cylinder, you write it as a simple cylinder without. You can calculate it for any number of non-contractible loops on the cylinder. So you just cut it on each loop, and use. A known expression for the cylindric correlation function without non-contractible loops, which is the same as in the in pure gravity. So in this way you can obtain the cylinder partition function. The same for the torus. You can calculate the partition function of the torus with n weight n for the contractible loops and weight n prime for the non-contractible loops, and just you cut it along all loops and integrate the pieces with respect to the length, and you will obtain there is an explicit expression as a function of the two numbers called the toroidal partition function.
So this is done for arbitrary lambda, right?
So this is done for arbitrary lambda, yes.
Let me take the limits and get the CFT partition function.
Yes. Yes. You have you can do the same thing for the boundary star operators. So you have this for example this let me write it on the disk. First, if you have just unit operators, this is simple. This is just W. This is L. This is L prime, and then you make a Fourier transform to put two boundary cosmological constants, z and z prime, and the result is just w z minus w of z prime divided by z minus z prime. Now you can consider one loop, one correlation function of S1 on the boundary, and it can be calculated in this way. You cut it on the like it was done for the loop equation. You cut in along the this loop, and you obtain an integral of two W's, which the expressions for which you know. So you can evaluate explicitly this correlation function. Same for the endpoint correlation function. Actually, here it's better to write a recurrence equation. So you can, you have the operator SL. So you cut it along this path, and you obtain W here. And on the right, you obtain W L minus 1, the correlation function of the operators L1 minus 1, because this line will become a boundary, for this one. So in this way, you can relate the correlation function of SL and SL minus 1. And actually, this is this equation you obtain is identical to the difference equation obtained by Fateyev, Zamolodchikov, and Zamolodchikov in the boundary Liouville theory. Another exact result is for the boundary correlation function of twist operators. So you have Dirichlet here and Neumann here. So here you can also write a similar loop equation, but it's a bit more complicated because you have to separate all these rainbows, and you have a sum over all possible geometric progression of this rainbow. So in the at the end you will find also a simple equation, which I don't have right to the time to write it, but it's possible to solve it exactly. And again, you obtain expression which is a particular function of this double sign function obtained by Fateyev, Zamolodchikov, and Zamolodchikov for the 2-point boundary correlator in boundary Liouville theory. I think that it's time to stop now. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much. So we don't have much time, but maybe for there's one question we can.
So this is a way how to obtain string equations from the brain.
If you speak about the dispersionless limit of the string equation, yes.
But this is dispersion.
Yes, this is dispersion. Yes, my matrix models are well nice way to reformulate things, but here in this case you can just use combinatorics.
The string equation can be also interpreted as a simple condition. Sometimes it's called a small condition because it's a simple condition that the resonance terms are equal to zero. And the condition would be is this equation which you derive in a combinatorial manner or graphical manner.
In a sense, yes. But actually, here in this case, you don't have a string equation in this model because here you don't have an integrable hierarchy in the ON model, no string equation. except at, for the rational point. But nevertheless, you can write a kind of deformed Virasoro equations. So you take Virasoro equations for pure gravity, and you deform them by this parameter nu here. Well, this is possible. You have the same algebra, Virasoro algebra, but more complicated representation.
Okay, let's then conclude the session. Thanks. Let's thank everyone.